Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. In a few minutes, you'll have the rare opportunity to hear and react to the head of a major TV series making enterprise. Marty Adelstein runs Tomorrow Studios, the company making Hannah for Amazon, Snowpiercer on TNT, and a batch of projects coming soon to your television set. He joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Gordon Ramsay returns to National Geographic next month with a second round of Uncharted Journeys. We'll catch up with executive producer John Crowell later this hour. Also ahead, Next Gen TV debuts in Vegas, and FX plots out American Horror Story's future. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. It is the Tuesday after Memorial Day 2020, and we welcome you to a special week for the program all about TV's current and future. 75 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Thank you very much for joining us. And for the 4 episodes we are doing this week, yes, we're being with you the rest of the week, Tuesday through Friday at this very hour with great guests each and every afternoon. So be with us, and more importantly, participate with us. You know how. Pick up the phone, dial it in, and raise your voice with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. If you're shy about using the phone, no problem with us, because we got a chat room for you. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Marty Adelstein, the head of Tomorrow Studios, in a rare live interview from Los Angeles, after these news notes. Four television stations in Las Vegas pushed the television medium forward today. They are the first stations in the United States to deploy next-generation technology using the ATSC 3.0 transmission standard adopted several years ago by U.S. authorities. NextGen, which incorporates internet protocol and 5G attributes, allows stations the ability to give viewers new video, digital, and interactive services, running through compatible television sets and set-top boxes. The participating stations in Vegas are KLS from CBS, KSNB at NBC, KTNB at ABC, and the CW affiliate KBCW. Industry consortium Total TV and technology supplier BitPath are overseeing next-gen TV rollouts in Las Vegas and other cities down the road. The expectation is that anywhere between 40 and 60 cities, stations in those areas, will have next-gen capability by the end of the year. You'll have to wait until next year to see that 10th season of American Horror Story on FX. Network officials broke that news this morning, along with the fact that FX will go forward with a separate American Horror Story, that Stories Plural series, in 2021. This AFS will deliver new tales on a weekly instead of annual basis. It looks like the National Hockey League is ready to resume its season. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman will deliver the details at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, about an hour and a half, less than an hour and a half from now, on NBC Sports Network. And while there will be no National Puerto Rican Day Parade here in New York next month, there will be a virtual ceremony, 90 minutes of it. Parade organizers will put a 90-minute special running locally on WABC-TV June 14th and nationwide through Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV-powered sets. Again, that will be on June 14th for 90 minutes. And that is news notes for today. It is very rare that any program covering the world of television, live or taped, radio or television or digital, whatever, has the opportunity to present an interview with someone who runs a television studio or a TV production company. And today, we have that opportunity. The company is Tomorrow Studios. It was co-founded over a year ago by our first guest today, along with ITV. That's one of the top media players in England. They dipped their toe in the water last year with Hannah, based on the popular movie that Sci-Fi runs every so often. David Fraud, the creator of both the movie and the television series, was with us on this program last spring. You should know that Hannah did very well on Amazon, and it will go into a second season there on July 3rd. The latest work from Tomorrow started over a week ago on TNT with a TBS simulcast. That, of course, is Snowpiercer, based on the popular Bong Joon-ho movie, John Ho, by the way, is one of the executive producers, and of course he became the Oscar-winning director this year for Parasite, itself being made into an HBO miniseries. So far, so good for Snowpiercer, which was 5 years in the making, headed by Graham Mattson of Orphan Black fame, who was on this program 2 weeks ago today. Snowpiercer premiered last Sunday night on TNT with that TBS simulcast of 3.3 million people, and then this past Sunday night did equally well again, especially coming right after the match with Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, and Peyton Manning organizing a great charity golf tournament that raised $20 million for coronavirus charities outreach and also was the highest-rated golf telecast in TNT history. Join us live in a rare live interview from Los Angeles, the founder and the chief executive of Tamar Studios, Marty Adelstein. Marty, welcome in.
Thank you, Simon. Good to be here.
Same here. Well, as I said, you dipped your toe with Tamar Studios last year with Hannah, and now it's a big dip with Snowpiercer.
Yes, yes. Snowpiercer has finally arrived, and very glad it did.
And what's your thoughts about how it has turned out so far?
Well, I mean, it turned out really great. I'm really pleased with it. It was a sort of a rough birthing process, and, you know, with TNT and Turner and everybody going through, you know, all these changes, it was, you know, it got moved around the release date a lot. But we finally premiered, and we premiered number one cable show of the year. And this week, it was a little jostled by the golf tournament, but we still, you know, we fell very little from the week before. So far, so good.
Rick Webb has just joined our channel from Philadelphia. Thanks, Rick, for joining us. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or make the call, 646-652-2906. Would you say that Hannah and now Snowpiercer are good examples of the kind of television you want to do with Tomorrow?
You know, it's interesting. The reason I started Tomorrow was to be able to do the kind of things that really appealed to me. So it's really a broad range, a broad slate. I mean, really the only thing that distinguishes a lot of it is sort of the integrity that we feel about the underlying IP and the people we get in business with. I mean, we have everything, you know, from Snowpiercer and that to a number of Japanese mangas and animes that we're adapting into live action shows. We have a show called Physical that Rose Byrne is starring in that's going to start somewhere in the fall. So it's really an eclectic slate.
Mm-hmm. Let's get right into the slate. And the thing is, it's not just selecting in terms of the properties you're developing and producing, but also where you're doing them. You're not just focusing on one service. You're going really across the board. I mean, Hannah was done for Amazon, Snowpiercer, TNT. Let's talk first about the shows you're doing a pair, at least, for Netflix. And one of them is a manga that a lot of people talk about, Cowboy Bebop.
Yes. Cowboy Bebop was the first property that we bought in Japan. Nick Louie and I went to Japan, and we literally had to go three times a year. And what we did is we went to some of the Japanese rights holders and said, look, you make these movies that sometimes get made, it takes 10 years, and they're sort of squeezed into 2 hours on the screen. When you have these long-running animes and mangas that lend themselves to 8-9 years worth of episodes, let me take a shot at trying to get them made. I can get them made in a year, year and a half, and they'll be on the air, and you'll have many seasons of shows. And, you know, it took us a little while to convince them on Cowboy Bebop. It had been in development for so long at Fox with Keanu Reeves attached to it. And, you know, once we got there, you know, they saw how we worked and the rest of Japan saw, and it sort of suddenly opened up for us the properties that we wanted, some of these iconic properties.
Mm-hmm. Well, at what point, where is Cowboy Bebop now? Is it being produced? Has it been in production? Have you gotten episodes made?
Well, we have two episodes made. We're in New Zealand shooting it, and John Cho, who's the star, tore his Achilles doing a stunt. So we had to shut down for 6 months, and, you know, which turned out not to be the worst thing, except I'm sure it was very painful for John, who's one of the great guys. But, you know, so we have two episodes in the can, and we're going to go back and finish.
And New Zealand, by the way, a couple weeks ago just opened back up for production. I know that Amazon's doing Lord of the Rings there, other people are doing other programs there, and they're one of the first countries along with the Czech Republic. England is now back in production, Spain back in TV production. So have you heard like what it's like in terms of getting things back off the ground in New Zealand?
New Zealand, the really only the toughest thing to do is you when you go there, you've got to quarantine for 14 days. And that is one of the things that has protected everybody. So you quarantine for 14 days, and then you have constant testing on the set, but they have not had a problem yet on anything in New Zealand. So we're excited to be going back there.
And what about the other show you're doing for Netflix?
There's another one that it's interesting because Cowboy Bebop has a big following in the U.S. Because it played on Adult Swim as an anime. The other one is called One Piece, which I believe just surpassed Batman as the second best-selling manga in the world. Sensei Oda, who's been writing it since college, has been writing it for 20 years. And it's known in the U.S. amongst sort of the fanboys, but it is the biggest manga in the world. I mean, I get requests from all over the world from people wanting to play Luffy, the lead character in it. And it's literally, there are theme parks in Asia based on it. And, you know, it is.
Marty? Marty? Somehow we may have lost Marty. Marty, are you there? Hold up 1 second.
Oh, wait,
let me see if we can try. All right, hold on 1 second, Marty.
I am you here. Yeah.
All right, go ahead. You were talking about One Piece.
Oh, I'm sorry. So with
well, for some reason we are. Marty's going in and out. Marty,
sorry,
check your phone line.
Okay, go ahead. I keep hitting the mute button. I'm sorry. So One Piece, which has been around for 20 years, Sensei Oda, has been writing it since college. And it literally, around the world, there are theme parks in China, theme parks in Korea, theme parks in Japan. It just surpassed.
Hey, you may have hit the mute button. Again,
no, I'm
unmute
here.
Yourself. Okay.
Can you? I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead again.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead, Marty.
Okay. Where did you lose me?
You said One Piece was as popular as Batman.
Yeah, well, it just surpassed Batman as the second best-selling manga comic in the world. It's not as well known as the U.S. as it is in Asia and the rest of the world. There are theme parks around the world based on the One Piece characters in that. And it's funny because I was in Japan in Osaka for the 20th anniversary at Universal Studios. They do it on the Waterworks set, which has been sold out for 20 years straight, the live show.
We are speaking with Marty Adelstein. He is the head of Tomorrow Studios. They've got Snowpiercer going. It's on Sunday night at 9 p.m. East Pacific Time on TNT. And Marty's with us live from Los Angeles in a rare exclusive live interview this half hour on Tomorrow will be televised. Time out, I'll leave you live from New York at 75 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for Marty, make the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. On our second of four episodes this week, tomorrow at this very hour, we'll mark the launch of HBO Max, the newest megaphoning service on the block, and we'll talk to the executive producers of one of the original series you will find there starting tomorrow. It's called Craptopia, where a YouTube personality puts some kids through some crap competition paces. We'll have executive producers Rick Bachner and Brian Maguire will be with us. And then you'll meet somebody who not only runs a television network, she's on camera, too. Her name is Rachel Stockman. She is the president and on-air host of Law & Crime Network. That involves also Dan Abrams of Live PD Fame on A&E. And they'll all be with us tomorrow at this very hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Marty, you had done interesting shows as an executive producer or producer beforehand. What made you decide a year or so ago to create Tomorrow?
Well, it's actually been 5 years now. What happened was I sort of got tired of the studio politics. I had been an agent for many years and was used to sort of dictating terms. And we sort of found ourselves, I found myself in a position where, you know, I was told what I could do and not do. And, you know, no studio would have allowed me to fly to Japan three times in a year to chase down material. And so I figured I needed to have a studio where we could do things, you know, that were different and do them in a different way.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the fact that you have such a wide palette of networks and services to work with? You got the broadcast networks, you got the cable networks, you have Hulu, Amazon. Now you have all these Megaform, Netflix. Now you have Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, maybe a souped-up CBS All Access, HBO Max as of tomorrow, Peacock as of in a big way July. What do you make of this television environment that you find Tomorrow into?
Well, I love it. I mean, for me, throughout my career, I always say chaos is good. And this really is a chaotic time. And when you have a situation like this, a time like that, you can exploit it in a way that's good for your company. There's so many more buyers out there, and you know, and they're sort of microly focused, a lot of them. So the projects tend to, you know, where they fit, although you are surprised at times that somebody buys something that you didn't think they would. But I find it to be fascinating. It really gets my juices flowing to have all this sort of outlets there and them not sure of how they're doing it or what they're doing, you know, and just sort of getting it set. That's where the most opportunities are.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the opportunity you're making with Rose Byrne.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Yes, Marty. Talk about the TV series you're making with Rose Byrne. You know, it wasn't so long ago that Byrne made her really big splash on television opposite Glenn Close with FX on Damages, which was a terrific show. It was produced here, as a matter of fact, in New York, not far from where I live in Brooklyn. And Rose has had a great career ever since, and looks like you're going to be taking her with the new series to the next level.
Yes. Physical is the story of a woman in the 80s, late 80s, who's trying to find her way, maybe a little bulimic, and her husband is a wannabe politician, and she finds her sort of redemption in her life through starting a Jane Fonda-type workout, which becomes a huge craze for that time. So it's really the story of this couple and of this woman's evolution. And Rose read it and really wanted to play this role, and we were thrilled.
And where do you see this program going to?
We sold this to Apple. This is a show for Apple.
Apple TV Plus. I understand, yeah. Marty, that you are going to revive a program that ran one season on ABC, loved it a lot, was a big hit overseas, called The Persuaders. It's the series that had Roger Moore teamed up with Tony Curtis.
Yes, we are, which I'm very excited about. It was an ITV format, which I had loved the series when I had seen it, and it was something I always wanted to do. And I immediately went to Hart Hansen, who had created Bones and that, and Hart had a funny reaction. So I love the material. I don't know if I want to work right now. So I was in London, and I had heard that Steve Coogan loved the material and wanted to get his hands on it forever. So I went to see Coogan, and he was immediately in. Then I phoned Hart back and said, well, I got some news on Persuaders. He said, what's that? I said, Steve Coogan's committed to produce it now. I've got to be involved. So he and Coogan have been working on it for the last 5 months, getting it ready. Very mm-hmm. excited about it.
Hart's been on the show. He's a wonderful producer, writer, and that's you know, a great strike in the in your ballpark to have him aboard for this. I'm curious why you think The Persuaders, given everything that was so good about that series, the team-up and the chemistry of Roger Moore and Tony Curtis, the production values from ITC, Robert Baker did The Saint, who did Roger Moore's first series, was the producer on it, very well regarded. Had great music by John, theme music by John Barry, which was actually a hit overseas, like a top 20 hit. Why do you think The Persuaders did not work on American television?
I think at that point it had too much of a foreign British sort of angle to it, which is not an issue anymore. As you see much more of a mixed cast from all over the world now. So I think it will be more acceptable now in terms of an American audience.
You know, personal thought on my end, Marty, I thought ABC screwed the show. I think they put in a bad time slot to start, which was Saturday night at 9:30, which meant that you had to cut away from another show you might be watching at 9 o'clock to catch the show. And I don't think they realized how good a show they had because of all the great value with that show. But you have an opportunity to revive that show and really make it work.
Yeah, very excited about it. I mean, I think it's the way we're going to do it, I think, is very timely also.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other series that or other projects you're working on with Tomorrow?
Oh, God, there's so many. We sold a project, another one to Apple, called If I Can See Your Face, which takes place in Korea, revolves around the world of plastic surgery in Korea. Let me see what else we're doing. There's a couple more mangas that we're in the process of writing scripts for. There's a series called Monstrous, which is an anthology of female horror stories that are familiar stories done from a female angle with female writers and female directors. And there's a couple more that are in various stages of development that have been sold.
Yeah. With the kind of focus you have, Marty, on manga shows, what do you think is the key to adapting them successfully for television, particularly live action?
Well, there's a lot of keys to it, which is to stay true to the material as much as possible, because what you have are fanatical fans on that thing. So if you're not true to what the original material is, you'll be called out like crazy. I mean, I get Facebook messages from around the world either saying, I can't wait for this, or if you screw it up, I'll kill you. So it really, I mean, I've got hundreds of these sort of emails. So the fan base is there. You've got to stay true to the material. Your casting has to be very multinational. You know, you've got to be very careful culturally about how to handle these things.
You are hearing Marty Adelson. He is the founder and chief executive officer of Tomorrow Studios. They've got a lot on their plate, and currently on their plate is Snowpiercer, which is on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on TNT. And coming up on July 3rd, the beginning of the second season of Hannah, which we profiled last year on this program with David Forrest, creator and executive producer and key writer. That is coming back for a second season on Amazon July 3rd. And Marty joins us for a few more minutes from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. We're glad to have him and glad to have you with us on this day after World Day 2020. Time to have fun with you live from New York, 75 degrees at the top of the hour. First, the four shows we are doing all week long, Tuesday through Friday at this very hour. Coming up on Thursday, Reverie, the network aimed at gay, lesbian, transgender audiences, is bringing on some new services coming up, including the first ever global news channel aimed directly at and programmed by the gay and lesbian community. We'll speak with two of the co-founders of Reverie, Aaliyah Daniels and Crystal Rodriguez. They'll be with us on Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific Thursday, exclusively right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And coming up on Friday, we'll have a 90-minute edition for you. We'll have the chief executive officer of Canela TV, the new network aimed at Latinos, bringing Spanish language, English language, and bilingual programming all in one service. Isabel Raftery heads that service. She'll be with us as our first guest. Also, rescheduled from earlier, the producer and showrunner of the 2020 Daytime Emmy Award nominee for Outstanding Educational Programming, Michelle Stoppo on CBS, Anna Wenger. And finally, from the new AMC miniseries Quiz, based on the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire British version cheating scandal, we'll have writer, executive producer, James Graham. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific here on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. Marty, before we go, what's your thoughts right now about where we are at trying to get TV production back in the United States?
Well, very interesting. Everybody wants to get started. the governor here in California has been very supportive, and the mayor has been very supportive of us getting started. I think Governor Newsom is going to announce today a series of requirements to get production going again. So I think we'll get it going, you know, by July, August, somewhere in there, the production will start in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you getting a sense that the guilds, both where you are, where Los Angeles, Los Angeles and New York, by the way, also, which we have not heard much from the mayor or from Governor Bill de Blasio or Governor Andrew Cuomo, are they all on the same wavelength that they see July as the month to rev back?
Yeah, I believe so. There's been a lot of conversations with the guilds and that, and it's been a very collaborative effort that I've heard, you know, so that everybody agrees and feels comfortable going back.
Mm-hmm. Also, what about Canada? Because you filmed Snowpiercer in Canada, and we talked to Graham Maxson. He mentioned that he was able to get most of the second season done with, I think, one episode or two still to go. Have you heard from people in Canada about when they will be back in production?
Yeah, they're talking about, as I've heard, they're talking about July, and there's going to be sort of some dispensation for essential producers to go up there. So I don't know that the country will be completely open to tourism and trade and things like that. They're going to make it available with quarantine that you can go up there and produce these shows.
What do you think about where you are right now, that you are heading a venture that looks like it's going to be really, really big and serve a lot of audiences at the same time and really advance the medium in a lot of interesting ways, whether it's science fiction in Snowpiercer, whether it's dystopian with Hannah, whether it's Manja with Cowboy Bebop, whether it's straight drama with the Rose Byrne series. What's it like for you to be at this point in your career managing a studio that is really revving up now for big things?
Well, it is a dream come true. I've done a lot of things, including being one of the guys who started the Endeavor Agency, which was really fun, exciting time. But by far, this is the most fun I've ever had because it's really a palette that you can paint on whatever it is you want. Plus, it's something that I dreamed up. I first tried to do it in 2008, and the real estate crisis hit, and there was no money available to it. And then I decided about 5 years ago that this is what I wanted to do. And anytime you can come up with a plan and execute it in life and see it successful, it's very fulfilling.
You can see Tomorrow Studios at Work with Snowpiercer, starring Jennifer Connelly and Daveed Diggs. Great cast. Executive produced by Graham Maxson, formerly author in Black, who was on this program, by the way, 2 weeks ago. Snowpiercer, Episode 3, this Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on TNT. Check your local listings for the place where you can find TNT on cable and satellite in your area. For more details about the program online, you can go to www.tntdrama.com. That's www.tntdrama.com. And don't forget that Hannah could be hosted into a second season on July 3rd. That's available on smart TV sets and smart devices through Amazon Prime. For more details, of course, Amazon.com. Marty, thank you very, very much for taking the time. This was a very special and a really fun interview with us. It's really rare we get to see people in your neck of the woods doing your thing, and it was a real treat to have you on. I hope you come back soon, and congratulations on the success Tomorrow's had so far, and hopefully much, much more to come.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Anytime you want me, I'm here.
You got it, Marty. Ours too. And again, let's hope that the TV production business here in the United States gets back and booming in July. We certainly need it right now. Marty, take care. All the greatest.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All the greatest.
Okay,
thank you. Marty Elfstein. You got it. Marty Elfstein, the founder and chief executive of Tomorrow Studios, joining us live in an interview exclusive from Los Angeles. More Tomorrow Retail Live coming later. First, some words to the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for a great inspiring tale, how about this? Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. And you can get it as one of three free audiobooks available to you right now with a one-month trial at Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. Listen on any device, and whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. Get three free audiobooks, one-month trial, great customer service, mobile parent, Amazon.com. And don't forget that two of those free audiobooks come from the growing catalog of Audible Originals, original audio productions that's the Broadway off Broadway Regional Theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. So make today the day that you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Makes a great gift any time of the year for you or someone you love. AudibleTrial.com/televised. When we come back, Gordon Ramsay is back on the Uncharted Trail next month for National Geographic. We'll speak with executive producer John Kroll. We'll go back to Los Angeles for that after we pause, after the bottom of the hour, for web identification. To connect with Best Internet Radio in the galaxy, www.blogtalkradio.speakerandtunerradio.com. Remember, all three together reach over 40 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, TuneIn Radio is your place for the coronavirus news channel. Get the latest reporting from all over the world on this pandemic and how we are licking it, plus original podcasts and much, much more. The coronavirus news channel is 24/7 at TuneIn.com from TuneIn Radio. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Tuesday after Memorial Day 2020. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted you are with us for this first of four episodes this week. We're with you every day the rest of this week, Tuesday through Friday at this hour, 75 degrees top of the hour. Another great guest coming your way in the next half hour. So we invite you to be interactive with us. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name is Rick Webb from Philadelphia, already in the room. One of National Geographic's most popular new series last year was Uncharted, and it featured that master chef who always has something to say, Gordon Ramsay, in a very unusual spot, traveling around the world, not in search of food, but in search of great cultures to interact with. The second season of this series is coming up next month. It starts on Sunday, June 7th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Nat Geo. And joining us live for another Internet Radio exclusive, again from Los Angeles, executive producer John Kroll. Welcome in, John.
Hey, Simon. I know you were one of the original supporters of our show, so I just want to thank you for being there for us, and it's great to be back on your show.
You're very, very welcome. It's marvelous to have you back. I hope you had a wonderful, peaceful, restful Memorial Day holiday weekend, as I'm sure a lot of people did, given this pandemic. And it's a pleasure to have you back. How did you get involved with Uncharted?
Well, I was called, a year and a half ago by the head of Studio Ramsay and asked if I would be crazy enough to go on the road with Gordon Ramsay. And I said, I'm just that kind of crazy. So I started doing it then, and I feel like I've been on the road for it ever since.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious whether Gordon was inspired by Anthony Bourdain, who, of course, made a great career the latter part of his life with his various series for Travel Channel and CNN, going to different cultures around the world and really showcasing not just the food, which he's, of course, known for as a chef, but also really showcasing in a very deep way the cultures that these corners of the world live in.
Tony and Gordon were really good friends, and I'm sure they talked about those things, but the fact is Gordon was actually doing Gordon's Great Escapes in the UK before Bourdain was doing his show. So they've both done multiple shows of this sort of travel adventure sort, some of which have overlapped, and they're both very different in tones. I mean, I love Bourdain's shows, but Gordon's throwing himself off of cliffs and out of helicopters and things like that. It's a very different kind of show than I think than Bourdain's shows.
Why did Gordon decide to do this in the first place? With all the things he's doing, you know, all the Fox shows he does, shows for, as you mentioned, British television, why did he decide to take the plunge and become a journey person around the world?
Well, it's a really good question because it takes him a lot more time and effort to do one episode of Uncharted than one episode of those other shows that are shot in the cozy environs of a stage. But I just think he loves to do it. I think he loves to see the world. He loves to experience new flavors and new tastes. And his biggest direction to us for season two was to basically go more extreme, have him do more outrageous things, and to never think that he won't do anything. And Gordon has never said no to anything that we've put him up to on this show.
Mm-hmm. Since you raised it, how long does it take? You know, once you get a destination, how long does it take to produce an episode?
Well, we do a lot of research before we even go out, and then we go out and scout, and we shoot an episode in about a week. So it's, the shooting's pretty quick, but we're researching and getting ready and trying to find really interesting things for him to do for many months before that.
Mm-hmm. Of the first season episodes, what was the one or two that really caught your attention, more importantly, really caught Gordon's attention as something that he was very proud to do?
Well, I think that Gordon really loved doing the New Zealand episode. It's even though it's in some ways the least uncharted, the flavors that they were discovering there, the combination of adventure and ingredients was really wonderful there. But also Peru, I think, he embedded with some local people in Peru who had no idea who he was, I think that's a determining factor. Whenever we can meet people or go places where they don't know who he is, he loves that. He thinks that's really cool because obviously he's one of the most recognizable people on the face of the earth. So that doesn't happen to him very often.
Well, speaking with John Crowell, he is the executive producer of Gordon Ramsay Uncharted. Second season begins on Sunday, June 7th, 10 p.m. Pacific time on National Geographic, available on cable and satellite. John joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Told Live. Simon Abloh with you on the other end of the U.S. of A. in New York, where it's 75 degrees, absolutely beautiful at the top of the hour. And we invite you to participate. Get interactive with what we're up to. All you have to do is make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And by the way, coming up next week, we will start June off with three episodes, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And on a Wednesday episode, we're going to have an exclusive interview with the executive producer of the new Hulu series, The Great. That's that Catherine the Great, unusually irreverent series. We'll have executive producer Marion McGowan joining us. She'll be one of our guests on June 3rd. That's a week from Wednesday, exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, also presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. John, once Gordon gets into a location, is there a certain itinerary he follows, or is he trying to, depending on location, mix it up from site to site?
Well, you know, we are a television show, and so we have to clear our various locations for, you know, so that we don't get arrested or anything like that. But what we really try and do with Uncharted, more than any other show I've worked on, is sort of come up with an initial world for him to play in. Come up with some things that he might do, but he frequently goes off the rails and does his own thing, and it ends up being an even better episode than anything we might have planned. So we give him a framework to work within, but he does a lot of improvisation within that framework and kind of explores in different ways or finds different characters that he interacts with that we never would have expected. So there's a lot of adapting as we go along that we have to do as we're making Uncharted.
And it sounds like he has a little bit of the spirit of Charles Carroll, the former CBS News correspondent who did On the Road for so many years, that Steve Hartman does now, where he'll go down one road somewhere in Americana and he finds another road, and where he's supposed to go is not exactly where he gets to. He finds something along the way that, oh, this is a better story. Let's shoot there. So it sounds like Ramsay has a similar modus operandi in mind.
Yeah, I think that we're often driven by characters, and whenever we meet someone interesting, even if it was not someone we planned to shoot something with, if Gordon's having fun with him, we will frequently go out of our way to build a new story that we didn't plan on doing, just so that he can that he can go down a path that he's interested in. And that's really different than I think that a lot of other shows that have to be super, super prepared and to do things only a certain way. And that's something that we really enjoy about the show.
Mm-hmm. When Gordon goes to a location, what kind of food does he look for? What about the food? What about the culture? What about the people really turns him on?
Well, I think that he's really interested in new ingredients primarily. I mean, he's cooked with so many different ingredients. So if he can find something such as a potato he found in Peru, or a cooking technique like the hangi, the traditional Maori cooking technique that he did in New Zealand, that's the kind of stuff that he really, really likes, is something new for him, because he's kind of been there, done that when it comes to food. So when he can find something new that he can play with and try for the first time, that's really exciting for him, and it really lights things up. So we look for things like that when we're getting ready for an episode, and then sometimes he finds additional ones along the way.
Now, how do you, in your research, how do you find those places, or you find that unique cuisine, or you find that unique food preparation? Is it something found in books? Is it something you have to talk to locals? What kind of techniques do you use, research techniques do you use to come up with a framework for an episode?
It's a really good question, and all I can tell you is that it has kind of a multi-tiered answer. Generally, the most interesting things we find are through local people that we talk to. So they may say, they may have something that they told other film crews coming to town about, but that no one's ever done, and they'll say, oh, you might be just crazy enough to do this, even though no one's ever done this before. So it's fun for us to work with locals who have a sort of a local secret that they've never been able to unveil before, and we dig in and say, yeah, that's uncharted. That's just the kind of thing we like to do.
So what are some of the countries that Gordon visits this year, season two?
Well, I think we have – I'm so excited about the season because we got to go to a lot more, you know, sort of off-the-beaten-path kind of places than we did in the first season. And I think that my favorites have been Indonesia and South Africa. There's a great Tasmania episode. Obviously, Tasmania is Australia, but it's a very unique ecosystem all its own. Guyana was our most uncharted episode yet because we were literally in the middle of the Amazon basin with no access to internet or to the comforts of home. And the fun thing is that when we're in places like that, Gordon kind of, I think, embraces the fact that no one can contact him. He really likes it.
One of the things that we know Gordon from with his shows on Fox and elsewhere is, you know, he doesn't suffer fools gladly. If he sees a chef prepare a dish for him that he gets picked off, it's like 0 to 100 in terms of his anger, or 0 to 100 in terms of letting that person know, you did a job. What side of his personality, what side of his life do we see in Uncharted that we don't see in other programs?
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, I think what's really unique about this is that Gordon is the guest in these places. You know, he's in charge when he's in those other shows. It's his world, and we're all just living in it. But in the case of Uncharted, he really is the guest, and he's very aware of that. So he ends up being the brunt of the abuse, such as it is, from the locals more than dishing it out himself. So, I mean, I think that you see locals, be they the chefs or the contributors, hand Gordon's ass to him constantly throughout our show. You don't see that on any of the other shows.
Yeah, and how do you react to that, sort of the shoe on the other foot?
I know it's weird, but I think he kind of likes it. I think he kind of likes the fact that, you know, to show that he can take it as well as dish it out. And he responds very well to it. And you know, it's all in the great quest of learning more and discovering new flavors. So there is a great end result for him. And so I think he thinks it's worth it. And the only thing he's very conscious of is he would never he wants to taste everything. And sometimes things are not to his flavor. You know, he spit out some of those worms in season one. He spits out more things in this season, but he never spits out any food that anyone ever cooks for him. It's just sometimes a local ingredient, be it a worm, a grub, something like that, may not be to his palate. And he's not shy about moving on from that if that's the case.
Yeah. Of all the cuisine he tasted in this second season, what was the big surprise that he really liked? That, you know, he thought, well, maybe when he heard about it or what somebody spoke to him about it, was like, I don't think I'm going to really like this, but yeah, this is I could make a meal for this. I could enjoy this somewhere.
Well, in two different places this season, both Guyana and Louisiana, somehow rat ends up being on the menu. And it just sounds nasty to be eating any kind of rodent. And they look like giant rats. They're called nutria in Louisiana, and they're called and they're called lava in Guyana. And rat never sounds that appetizing. But to his credit, he ate both, and he admitted both were a lot better than he thought. Of course, I always have to eat that stuff first before he does, so I could tell him I ate it first. I have to be the crash test dummy for that stuff.
And what's it like for you to be the guinea pig, John?
Well, I've only gotten food poisoning once on this show, and it was from a normal crew meal in a restaurant, not from any of the things that we ate. So I'd like to think I'll try anything once, and it's very helpful to be able to tell Gordon that, when he says, hey, have you guys tried this, to say, yep, we tried this, so that he knows that he's not being the guinea pig himself. So I take great pride in doing it, and sometimes things are not to my liking, and I'll always tell him that. So he knows what he's in for, but he's never refused to taste a dish in my entire time knowing him.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about Gordon Ramsay Uncharted. It's the second season of this popular new Nat Geographic series. And John Crowe is the executive producer on these directors live from Los Angeles this half hour on our program, all about TV's current and future. Uncharted starts season 2 a week from Sunday, June 7th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Nat Geographic, available on cable and satellite all over the place. And if you have a question or comment for John, make the phone ring your way, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, tomorrow, Mega Programming Service HBO Max launches, and we will celebrate it with the executive producers of one of the original series you will start finding there, smart TV sets, smart devices, cable services, etc., starting tomorrow morning. The service for the network we're talking about, the show we're going to talk about, is called Craftopia. It has a YouTube personality putting kids to their craft competition paces. Executive producers Rick Faulkner and Brian Mager will be with us. And then also on the program, we'll meet Rachel Stockman. She not only is the president of Law and Crime Network, she's also an on-air host. It's like she runs the company, and she also announces on the company. Rachel Stockman joins us live as well, the head of Law and Crime Network, which, by the way, just started last week on Verizon Fios TV systems around the country. She works with Dan Abrams of Live TV fame on A&E and other things, too. And, again, that's all tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, HBO Max, World Market, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. As you mentioned earlier, John, there's a part in every episode where Gordon does a stunt. He's like a challenge, if you will, physical challenge, whatever. What are some of the physical challenges that he puts himself up for this year?
Well, Gordon will do anything in search of a new ingredient and or a new kind of food. And sometimes we have to find food in hard to get places. So, for example, in South Africa, he's trying to get to where there's some incredible shellfish, and it's a remote beach that he's going to. So he has to jump out of a helicopter because it's too windy for the helicopter to land on the beach. So that's one thing that happens. Another thing that happens is in Guyana, he goes to a remote place in the jungle. You can get there by car, but it takes days. So, Gordon doesn't have days. So he took a helicopter there and has to rappel down into the jungle, a 200-foot rappel. So those are just a few, but it's like a James Bond movie. There's speedboats. He's in all sorts of watercraft. He's in small planes. Gordon always ends up in seemingly finding the fastest way of getting there, and the fastest way is not always the safest way. So that's why he ends up taking these extreme measures to get to these places.
Uh-huh. Sean, did you say earlier that there's an episode in Louisiana that you filmed this year?
Yes, there is. We shot just outside of just south of New Orleans in what they call the end of the world, which is part of the area that was flooded during the various weather events that they've had down there. So it's pretty interesting. He's got some very uncharted adventures there. He goes crawfishing. He takes a plane out into the middle of the Gulf of Mexico to a remote island where he can catch a kind of a trout that's out there. So we like to do some Uncharted right here on American soil, too.
All right, on that note, let's take a call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, Rick. Good to hear you. Happy Happy Memorial Day to you and everybody down in Philly. And on the line with John Crow. Go ahead.
Hey, John. Just a quick question about, since you guys go to all kinds of uncharted cultures and whatnot, and do you guys ever get shaken down by some of those cultures where they say oh, if you eat a spider, you have to give us $100 bill or donate to some charity, or what kind of stuff do you as a producer encounter that you have to, flyers that you have to put out?
It's a really good question, and what I can tell you is, we hire a lot of local people when we go to these places. We travel with a very, very small team, and we hire a lot of locals. And generally what happens when we get to these places is any kind of resistance or issues that we run into, our local people help us sort that out. But in general, it's interesting. We have been blessed with not having to have major issues of that regard. People are really welcoming. They're very, very proud of their cultures, and they're really glad that they're being displayed. Because keep in mind, we're not going to the types of touristic places where that type of thing is commonplace. So it's a totally reasonable thought that we would have to deal with that, and I'm happy to tell you we deal with that a lot less than you might think.
Cool. Well, I'm glad to hear it, and continued success with the show, and I'll definitely be checking it out again.
Well, thanks a lot. I think you'll find these news episodes blow last season's away, so you'll really have a good time if you like last year.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. And thanks, Simon.
You're very welcome, Rick. Take care. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, here on Tomorrow Be Televised, calling in from the wonderful city of brotherly love. Absolutely. And sisterly love, too. John, in our first half hour, we had Marty Adelstein, who now runs his own venture, Tomorrow Studios with ITV, and they are out to cause big things. Gordon also has his own entrepreneurial venture, Studio Ramsey. He's working. How is he doing with that venture, and what kind of projects does he want to do down the road?
I can't speak for Gordon on that front too much, but I do obviously interact with those people a lot. He's got a magnificent team. He's got a whole lot of shows that are in development that he's done. I know. I just don't want to get into trouble. He is my boss, Simon. He does have some exciting project that I know about, and I just don't know what's been announced and what hasn't. But what I can tell you is Studio Ramsey is a full-on studio, and they have a lot going on, not just in America but all over the world. So, yeah, he is definitely pursuing world domination.
And NSC is working on scripted as well as unscripted, too. So looking forward to seeing what moves he makes in the scripted field. And, John, before you leave us, what's next for you?
As you may have seen, Uncharted was just announced, Season 3, and so we're trying to figure out when we can get back on the road and shoot some more episodes. So, obviously, we, like a lot of other people, are monitoring the global situation and trying to explore all the new safety measures that are being put into place. And as soon as it's reasonably safe, we'll be back out in the world and making some more Uncharted.
Well, and congrats on the Season 3 green light. Marty Adelstein, our first half hour, seems to think that July is going to be the month that TV production, at least here in the United States, is going to start finally. Are you getting that sense also from people in the unscripted world?
Yeah, I think for shooting, that's a good goal. I think that there things like scouting could start earlier than that. It also is so dependent upon, our needs on Uncharted are very, very different than a big scripted show. We have fewer people. So there is some thought that we might be able to do some of our work a little bit earlier than that, but we're going to wait and see. And the key to everything is keeping our crew and our team and, of course, the crown jewel, Gordon, safe. So we're working very hard to put protocols in place to get ourselves on the road as quickly as we can and as safely as we can.
Well, a lot, I think, is going to depend, personal thought, on what's being said, if not today, hopefully for the end of the week, by Governor Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, and Eric Garcetti, the mayor of L.A., and here in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio. We're all waiting on bated breath to see what the story is, and I know the guilds are working on it. Tyler Perry is going to be launching his shows back in July at his studio complex outside Atlanta. Georgia's come up with guidelines for that state, so we'll see whether we see some dominoes start to move in the direction of getting TV production back, because there's hundreds of thousands of jobs directly and indirectly that are impacted by this TV world. And we all hope that that we can lick this pandemic and get things back in great shape. Again, it's Gordon Ramsay Uncharted Season 2 premieres Sunday, June 7th, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on National Geographic. Check the local where that service is available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to www.nationalgeographic.com/TV. www.nationalgeographic.com/TV. Gordon Ramsay Uncharted Season 2, June 7th. 10 p.m. Pacific Time, Season 3, coming, hopefully, in 2021. John Crowell, the executive producer of the series, thank you again for joining us. A pleasure. Best to Gordon and crew, and hopefully continuation on having this be a long-running show. And all the best also to Gordon and his future Studio Ramsay endeavors here in the United States and all around the mundo.
Thank you very much, Simon. I look forward to being back on Tomorrow Will Be Televised anytime. You're always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on, John. Feeling is mutual. Anytime you like, open invite. Take care. All the greatest.
All right. Bye-bye.
John Crowell, executive producer of Gordon Ramsay Uncharted, joining us live from Los Angeles. And again, thank you to Marty Adelstein, the head of Tomorrow Studios, for being with us the first half hour. It's a very rare, special privilege to have the head of a production company like Tomorrow that is ruining the high gear on this program. We are back with you less than 24 hours from now on Wednesday. We will mark HBO Max's launch all over the place with the executive producers of Craftopia, one of its original series, Red Faulkner and Brian Mauger, and from Law & Crime Network, the president and on-air host, Rachel Stockman. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes, you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/tell. And don't forget, that's where you can find our interviews a couple of weeks ago with Graham Manson, the executive producer of Snowpiercer, and last year's interview with David Farr from Hannah, also produced by Tomorrow Studios. Blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, we have that podcast available to you anytime you like at iTunes, Apple TV, Spreaker Podcast app, TuneIn.com, and iHeartRadio.com. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about where TV is at, where it's going? Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, UBTSimonTWET. We do respond in 24 hours because always what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of Blog Talk Radio, TuneIn Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate, BTR, is Candace Williams. Andy Taylor is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Steinberg is executive content producer. And the co-founders, Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a one-month trial, three audiobooks, including two from the growing Audible Originals catalog, is audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. We are back here less than 24 hours from now, 3:30 Eastern, New Pacific, tomorrow, HBO Max's premiere day, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Now, we're up to you between now and then. Please make it safe, make it great, and we are licking this pandemic once and for all. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.